This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Beltway Blitz gives you the latest on the DC teams you care the most about every day. We'll kick off the Blitz with the Skins in a moment. One training camp note, thanks to Pete for the update there. An item from around the league. Sterling Shepard was carted off the field during today's practice. Of course, he caught 65 balls for the Giants last year for almost 700 yards and 8 touchdowns, one of which came against the Redskins.
Good player.
Also ran for 31 yards. He was a terrific rookie and was expected to be a big part of their offense in the slot. Remember, they made a big addition, Brandon Marshall having been signed to start on the outside opposite Odell Beckham Jr. So they were going to have a pretty exotic-looking offense, and maybe they still will if Shepard is able to bounce back, but apparently he was in tears, was in serious pain, and was carted off the field with an apparent leg injury today. So more on that as we get details here on Grant and Danny. We'll get to the Nats in a moment. Let's start the Blitz on the football field. Craig Hoffman is with us. He and Chris Russell have been covering the Redskins for us. 106.7 The Fan all week long from Richmond. And by the way, Slash will be with us today at 1:45. Craig, let's start with you. As far as the offense goes, the Redskins' injury is still at the tight end position. We care about Jordan Reed's health. He saw Dr. Anderson yesterday. Is that good news or bad news in his recovery?
I mean, they're telling us it's good news that this was a scheduled thing and it's fine and everything's great. But, I mean, every day that goes by, you obviously get a little bit more concerned. Now, I will say Jay Gruden kicked off camp by saying he expected it to be at least a week, and we're now at almost that point. Tomorrow would be that point. So hopefully Jordan can get back out there. I would say the good news is that, you know, this is a guy that's had enough reps with Kirk Cousins over the last couple of years that you don't worry about timing, things like that. But with all the new receivers and the fact that these routes are all run in combination, you would like to get this first-string offense and reps together. And if this was absolutely nothing, they wouldn't have training camp. So missing it certainly isn't good.
Jamison Crowder, what's the latest there? He's missed a couple days, right?
Yeah, he's missed a couple. I mean, I was told the hamstring's not a big deal. It's not really worrisome, but obviously hamstrings are really finicky, so maybe they're being just super extra careful, and again, it's not something that's too major, but it's not kind of the same thing, where Jameson's played enough with Kirk over the past couple of years that you're not super concerned about their timing and rhythm, but when you talk about the combinations with Doxson and combinations with Pryor and just having everyone together and giving everyone the best look possible and the ability to kind of play off of each other, these are days that are going by without getting these reps in, and the later you go, the farther behind you get. And hamstrings are ones that you take super seriously. It's a very weird muscle. It's very finely woven. To get super technical with it, and that's why it's such a problem compared to other muscles. A lot of fast twitch muscle there, and so it's got to heal properly. And so time off is good, but you'd rather have no hamstring injury, and you hope that once it's done, it's done, and it's not going to be a recurring thing throughout the year.
Craig Hoffman, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hoff, you caught up with Junior Gallette. What did he tell you?
He said he's more explosive than ever, which is what he's told everybody. But I asked him how. I was like, okay, you're saying this, but you know, are you going and doing that, the pro agility drill, the 5-10-5 like they do with the combine, or all these other ways that you can measure agility, explosiveness, quickness? And he said, no, I play a lot of basketball, and I am windmill dunking easier than I ever have before. Like, what?
Oh,
he's 6'2", almost 240. And he's windmill dunking after two blown Achilles. I mean, he looks great on the football field, but that just blew me away. So he seems to have a really mature approach to everything. He seems to really understand what he had to go through, obviously, as he's gone through it for the second time on the other leg. But from an athletic standpoint, he looks fantastic. And it's cautious optimism because we don't want to get too excited considering what's happened before. But this is a guy that if he is going to play the way he looks right now, and if he is as explosive as he says he is, then he is going to be a major factor for this team this year. If for no other situation than third down pass rush, which we know was abysmal last year, which led to the Redskins being historically abysmal last year on third down.
Craig, the five offensive linemen that are starters, we probably know. How many do you think, this is an early read, obviously, how many do they keep in terms of depth, and who might they be?
I would think they keep eight. That's kind of been the move the past couple of years, where Ty Nsekhe's your swing tackle and you feel really good about him. Ari Quanjo's then your guard. And, you know, you don't feel great about him, if we're being honest, because he's had all the chances the past couple of years of Sean Laval hurt to come in and be impactful and push Laval, and he never has been able to. So you hope that Laval can, since he's going to be the starter, can A, stay healthy, and B, return to the form that he was 2 years ago, where the Redskins were, you know, had those 200-yard games back-to-back to start the season, and Laval was a big part of that. Then you think, and I'm going to murder the pronunciation of his name, but Rouillet, I believe, not to be
That's
confused
correct.
With Rouillet,
Chase,
which is,
yes.
which is you.
Yeah.
Okay, Danny. So not your cousin here, but I, you know, the young kid they bring in as a center, you wonder if they do wind up keeping him on the active roster, or if they do kind of what they've done in the past, which is store that backup center on the practice squad, think they can sneak him through there, and they steal another roster spot somewhere else. So I would think it'd be seven or eight, depending on if they think they can, you know, have that guy ready to go on the practice squad in case they need him. But also, like, who's your backup center then if Spencer Long were to get hurt? In the past, Long's been a guard who's then a backup center as well. And I don't necessarily know if they have as solid of a backup plan with one of their guards sliding over. So they might go ahead and keep that eighth lineman, you would think, as a center on the roster in case of emergency.
Craig, keep up the great work. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, boys.
You bet. Let's talk baseball. Nats lose last night. We'll get to Scherzer in a moment. Byron Kerr joins us. BK, weigh in on a conversation we had earlier. Four new faces added pre-deadline. Rank them in order of impact they'll have between now and the end of the season.
Well, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Sean Doolittle as number one because of that incredible fastball. I'll go with number two is Ryan Madsen because of his ability in the eighth inning. Number three is Brandon Kinstler, and we haven't really seen what he can do, but he's got 45 saves in the last year plus. And only because the offense is so good and they've got so much on the bench already, but I'm not saying that he is the fourth best player out there. He certainly could be number one. It's Howie Kendrick, and what he did last night just gives you an example of how ridiculous an addition he is, not only his offense, but his versatility on defense. So because the bullpen was so bad at the beginning of the year, I have to go 1-2-3 with those relievers. But Howie Kendrick is a huge addition to this team just because of his timely hitting and his great versatility on defense.
Byron, when will Jason Worth play again?
We saw him yesterday when we were watching the backhaul before the pregame show on Mets, and going through his strokes in the batting cage during batting practice outside or inside, I guess, Marlins Park. So that is certainly a good sign. The swing, to me, watching the backhaul, looked very good and looked like normal Jason Worth. But, you know, Dusty Baker has talked about that big toe and mentioned how that was the most difficult injury he ever had. And just stepping off that and running and things like that. He doesn't have to do that much running in left field, but, of course, it's the base running they're worried about. And, you know, the shoes looked fine to me. It didn't look like he had any extra padding down there. So that's a good sign that he's stepping through his swing fine. So I'm imagining here in from mid-August to the end of August is when I'm hoping to get all these guys back, and I think Jason Worth is on that same track.
Let's talk Scherzer. The home run, one of his great moments of the season, leaving after one inning, one of his worst moments of the season. They happened in a span of about nine real-life minutes. Well, what'd you think of last night?
Wasn't that one of the craziest things you've ever seen? I mean, the same thing happened to us again when, you know, when TV goes to break and everybody else watches commercials, we get to see, as I talked about just a moment ago, the backhaul. And, you know, we had got up to get a glass of water and come back, and everybody's screaming at the TVs, like, look at Scherzer. And, you know, we got to see them back up the replay and show him take that one pitch and give the next sign that he was done. And after all that, you know, you go back and watch the replays over and over, Grant, and you try to pinpoint when it happened. And there was one moment in the dugout, I think, when he just kind of exulted in happiness after the home run and kind of jerked his neck to the left. And he said that after the postgame show that, you know, he couldn't turn his head to the left. And because of the 2 days or so that he had, you know, the weird pillow situation or had a crick in his neck, it actually helped him on the home run, he said, because he was able to lock in. Danny can attest to that. That was a pretty amazing moment. But it looked like to me that he just kind of re-aggravated it in the dugout. And from what I've heard, is that they were giving him treatment on the neck before the game even started. So they knew about it. And he was just trying to fight through it through the whole game. But it's just amazing that he goes out, throws a whole inning, hits a home run, his first ever, a three-run shot. It turns out to be their biggest offensive play of the night. And then the very next moment, he's out of the game. So it was just a crazy turn of events. And I know everybody in Nats Nation and was worried and holding their breath, but it sounded like from his interview in postgame that they think it's going to be, you know, a day-to-day kind of thing and that he should be all right.
Byron, thank you, buddy. As always, appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
And you should follow Byron at Masson Kerr on Twitter. Read his work at MassonSports.com. Watch him on television pre and post. Thanks for joining the Blitz. 12:18. Saw a story last night about some juicy NFC East predictions. Got us thinking about what bold proclamations we'd make about the division the Redskins are in. Let's do that next on Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.